Today's Washing Tech episode is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at washingtech.com/book. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And also Warby Parker. Get a free 5-day home try-on at warbyparkertrial.com/joe. 5 pairs, 5 days, and the try-on is 100% free. That's warbyparkertrial.com/joe.
Today, people talk about shopping online or offline. I think in the future, there's going to be really no difference.
Welcome to the Washing Tech Policy Podcast. We deliver the latest tech policy news and brightest tech policy experts to you.
Wherever you are, so that you can stay productive, relevant, and informed in less time.
From Washington, D.C., it's the Washing Tech Policy Podcast with Joe Miller.
The tech sector leads the Dow to decline over 600 points. Amazon selects Queens and Crystal City to split up its second headquarters, and Jonathan Freebird is my guest. Market uncertainty in the tech sector led to a 600-point drop across the Dow in Monday's trading. Apple's 5% decline led to a sell-off across oil, manufacturing, entertainment, and beyond, as investors moved some of their assets to the more stable real estate market, the only sector that rose Monday at 0.2%. Amazon is expected to announce that it will split its second headquarters between Northern Virginia and Long Island City in Queens, according to several media outlets, including NPR and the New York Times. The city's beat out 238 proposals across the country. Safety experts and mid-level Federal Aviation Administration investigators have found that Boeing never trained pilots on a dangerous flight control feature that can unexpectedly push down the nose of a Boeing 737. That's the model that crashed in Indonesia last month, killing all 189 people on board. The New York Times notes that the plane crashed into the ocean at 400 miles per hour within seconds, a force so strong that it reduced some of the plane's metal fittings to powder. The safety feature was apparently intended to prevent the plane from stalling if the nose goes up too high, but it can force the plane down unexpectedly, which can cause pilots to lose control, according to the reports. Both the FBI and Department of Homeland Security concluded that there was no significant effort by foreign agents to breach the U.S. midterm elections. At a press briefing, DHS Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen said that the main concern was disinformation on social media, but that there was no evidence of breaches into the election machines themselves. Following Google's lead, Facebook, eBay, and Airbnb have all removed forced arbitration provisions from their employment policies. The companies moved to end forced arbitration after thousands of Google employees worldwide staged a protest a couple weeks ago in protest of the $90 million Google paid Android creator Andy Rubin when he left the company amidst sexual harassment allegations that a Google investigation had found credible. The Drug Enforcement Agency, DEA, and Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, have begun to hide surveillance equipment within streetlights, according to a court's analysis of federal contracting documents. The DEA apparently paid a company called Cowboy Streetlight Concealments out of Houston some $22,000 since June for video recording and reproducing equipment. ICE paid about $28,000 to the same company since then as well. Finally, the Motel 6 hotel chain will pay a $7.6 million settlement to class action litigants after a Motel 6 franchise owner in Warwick, Rhode Island, routinely faxed the names of Hispanic guests to the local police department. Another location in Arizona sent guest names directly to ICE. Motel 6, the corporation, has denied wrongdoing. You can find links to all of these stories in the show notes and also in our Twitter feed, and our handle is at Washing Tech. Stay with us. Washing Tech Policy Podcast listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. You can listen at the gym, in the car, or on your morning run. How about Thank You for Being Late, An Optimist's Guide to Thriving in the Age of Accelerations by Thomas Friedman? You can download Thank You for Being Late free by trying audible.com. Sign up for your free audiobook and 30-day trial today at washingtech.com/book.
tech policy is global policy. This is the Washing Tech Tech Policy Podcast, serving the world.
My guest today is Jonathan Freebird, head of U.S. public policy at JD.com, which is China's largest retailer. He has more than 20 years of Fortune 50 political, nonprofit, and governmental experience. Previously, he was at Microsoft, where he helped partners, entrepreneurs, customers, and consumers advocate for positive technology public policies through overseeing Microsoft's Voices for Innovation initiative, a community of more than 100,000 technology leaders in the U.S. who engage with government leaders. Previously, he also served in the Clinton administration as a political appointee in the immediate office of the secretary at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Please welcome Jonathan Freebird. Jonathan, welcome.
Thanks, Joe. So good to be here with you today.
So we're here today to talk about e-commerce, and Jonathan is going to tell us a little bit about the future of retail from the perspective of JD.com, which is the largest retailer in China, which Google invested $500 million in earlier this year. Tell us more, Jonathan.
Yes, JD.com is China's largest retailer, online or offline, and JD is also the third largest internet company in the world by revenue. And so what makes, I think, JD so exciting is that when you look at JD, it's really about the future of retail. We are the only e-commerce company in the world to operate our own nationwide logistics network. So if you think about JD.com, we are a combination of Amazon and FedEx in that people can buy products on our website, and then we can deliver to you. And what makes JD, I think, is really exciting is that we deliver faster than any e-commerce company in the world at scale. We can deliver over 90% of our orders same day or next day to 99% of the population in China. So if you order something on JD.com before 11 a.m., generally we can get that to you same day. And if you order it after 11 a.m., we can get that to you next day. We also, I think what else makes JD really exciting is that we have a lot of technology involved with our company. We do a lot of work on automation, big data, robotics, augmented reality, virtual reality, artificial intelligence, blockchain, and more. And we make these investments not just to improve our company, but also to be a service to others in the retail industry where we can help them deliver retail to their customers as well.
Yeah, I was in Shanghai. You brought a bunch of us out there, and it was great to see that white glove delivery service where you can actually order the same day and have it delivered by someone who's literally wearing white gloves. I thought that was pretty cool. So tell us more about JD's boundaryless retail, Jonathan. What would it mean for U.S. consumers?
Today, people talk about shopping online or offline. I think in the future, there's going to be really no difference. So JD, what JD does is combines online, offline, and virtual shopping technologies for what we call boundaryless retail, a boundaryless retail experience. We believe that consumers should be able to buy whatever they want, whenever, and wherever they want it. And so I think that's a different approach to things. It's something we call retail as a service. And so we've developed one of the world's most efficient and advanced retail logistics networks in the world. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, we've offered same-day delivery, something that we've done for almost a decade. This strategy, you know, allows our partners to also take advantage of this service. And it's something that I think is really exciting and something that, you know, we're really focused on as a company.
And JD, more than many other companies, I think, has a commitment to authentic goods. Shed some light for us on this commitment.
Since our founding as a small offline electronics store in 1998, the company has been focused on selling authentic, high-quality products. Now, this used to be more of a niche in China because most consumers were focused on price over quality. However, things have changed a lot. Chinese consumers have more disposable income. And as you may know, they've gone through several product safety scares. So they want now quality, authentic products. Now we have a reputation for our strict zero tolerance policy towards counterfeits. I think this also puts JD at a great position internationally with brands. Because brands, again, on a number of e-commerce platforms, have had problems with knockoffs and counterfeits. And so JD's commitment delivers trust with the brands, and that's why we have a number of international brands on our platform, because they know that we're going to treat their products with respect and we will not have counterfeits or knockoffs of any of their products on our platform.
And what would you say are three or four key policy priorities for e-commerce and for JD in particular?
So I think, you know, generally modernizing outdated laws and providing certainty for global commerce and global e-commerce, I think is important. You know, we want to work collaboratively as we work with all stakeholders, including partners, suppliers, consumers, regulators, to enable the vision we have for the future of commerce, which is, you know, retail as a service. So a lot of what we accomplish, both as an e-commerce company, as a technology company, requires open innovation, the sharing of best practices across borders, infrastructure to facilitate the movement of goods around the world so consumers can have whatever they want, whenever and wherever they want it. That, I think, is important, is to have this dialogue and conversations with regulators, with lawmakers about how to modernize some of these outdated laws and regs so that this can enable this global e-commerce to happen. I think also sustainable consumption is important, and this is a commitment that JD has had. We work very hard to promote sustainable consumption as online commerce grows. And we're working with all stakeholders to do things like develop new packaging, transition to new energy vehicles. And I know you saw some of that when you were in China, and promoting green products. So everything we do at JD is to support this vision and to enable other companies to do the same. Again, something that we call retail as a service.
Well, there's obviously a lot to digest here, especially as we consider U.S.-China relations. And, you know, really, this is just the beginning for JD.com, I think, in what it's going to mean for the global economy, remote access to technology, goods and services, and workers. So thanks so much for joining me. Now let's turn to your icebreaker, your career hack, and your pick for our book this week.
All right. I am ready.
Okay, so it's time for this week's icebreaker. The rules are simple. I spin the wheel. It gives us a random question. I ask it and you answer. You good with that?
I am great.
Okay, what do we have here? Wow. So if you were a wrestler, what would be your entrance theme song?
That's a great question. So you are talking to someone who remembers when WrestleMania first started, back when I was in high school. And since I have teenage sons, you know, I've kept up with wrestling recently as well. So I like underdogs, Joe. So I'd like to borrow from CM Punk, who, if you follow wrestling, would know that he's been an underdog in WWE while he was in there. And I love the song that he would come out to, which was The Cult of Personality by In Living Color. It was just such a great, great theme song. I think it was the ultimate underdog song.
Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cult of personality. I know you're angry.
But I also want to borrow from John Cena because I love his theme of Rise Above the Hate. It's very unifying. So I think I would take that combination of CM Punk's Cult of Personality and John Cena Rise Above the Hate.
Nice. So imagine for a moment that I'm a mentee, Jonathan, and I come to your office for career advice and, you know, sort of an informational interview. What's something you wish someone had told you before you started on your career in public policy?
So I think, you know, understanding innovation and digital transformation is really important. We really need more tech-savvy people in government and public policy, you know, people who are understanding kind of what's happening in the world and are willing to experiment. So if I had to go back in time and learn some things, you know, that relates not only to my job, but what I've seen with careers and people who I work with, it would be to understand, you know, what's happening with technology earlier. You know, start reading Wired and Fast Company, you know, and kind of see where things are going, because public policy, you know, generally lags behind this. And so the more that we can have thinkers and innovative people that understand this, I think the better it is for our society.
What are you reading these days, other than Wired? Are there any books on your list?
You know, I just finished our JD.com story, which I think is a great book if you want to learn more about the company. But really, you know, a book that I would recommend is along the lines of what I just said earlier, is Thomas Friedman's Thank You for Being Late. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, Thomas Friedman really captures digital transformation very well and really what's happening in technology, but also in society and how we deal with some of this change. So I would certainly recommend that book.
Well, thanks again, Jonathan, for joining me. What are some closing thoughts and where can we find you?
So please connect with me on LinkedIn. I would love to hear from anyone who has interest in what we talked about today. I think LinkedIn is a great way to connect with me. My email is jonathan@jd.com if you want to reach me that way. And, you know, if you want to learn more about JD, I'd encourage you to go to jd.com and take a look at our corporate site. We have some great fact sheets on there as well as a great blog, and I think it's a great way to understand, again, what's going on with retail in the world.
Awesome. And you've been listening to Jonathan Friebert, head of U.S. government relations for JD.com, China's largest retailer. Jonathan, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Joe. Enjoyed the conversation.
That concludes episode 162 of the podcast. Thanks so much for listening. If you like what we do here, we'd love to hear from you. Please take a moment, head over to Apple Podcasts, give it a review. It helps others know what they can expect from us and really helps us out. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you back here next week. Take care.